Would you like to study the Bible, but don't really know where to start? Bob Enyart's seminar on hermeneutics, tools for studying the Bible, will help you to study and understand the Bible on a whole new level. Hermeneutics, tools for studying the Bible, is available by calling 1-800-8-ENYART, or you can get the MP3 CD or the MP3 download at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Jack Kevorkian died this month, and according to a Planned Parenthood death score, so did a Denver abortionist whose initials are E.O. E.O. Now, we haven't yet confirmed his death, so we won't give out his name on the air. We're checking into that. But Kevorkian, also known as Jack the Dripper and Dr. Death, he euthanized a lot of lonely old women, if you recall. And when that was pointed out, then he killed a younger guy. And according to his own handwritten notes, the guy tried to stop him, but Kevorkian continued anyway. And pro-lifers who have often talked about a slippery slope, they have been vindicated time and time again, including where in Europe now, in Northern Europe, you have children who are euthanized. It used to be that the euthanasia movement would say, we're only putting to death people who are requesting to be killed because of some reason, pain management, or they don't want to be a burden on their family. For whatever reason, people think that intentionally killing an innocent person is a valid tool for solving problems, and so they advocate that. And we've pointed out many times on this program that there is no greater pain in all the world than a 15-year-old girl whose boyfriend has left her and maybe is going with her best friend. I mean, there's no greater pain than that. And so if there is not an intense social stigma against killing yourself because you're in pain, then you're not going to be able to constrain that in a nice, neat little package and have just the people you think who should be killing themselves actually killing themselves. You can't take fire into your belly and not be burned. And so we have in this country and increasingly around the world a growing epidemic of young people killing themselves to where suicide is a major cause of death of young people in America. It's a great tragedy. And so those who are in rebellion against God, our God, the Creator, the one who made us in His image and His likeness, typically they're very supportive, even excitedly so, about suicide and killing yourself, whether it's euthanasia or whatever form of killing the innocent, like abortion. They get very excited about supporting abortion, suicide, euthanasia, doctor-assisted suicide. But if you're going to put to death a guilty, convicted mass murderer, then that's where they draw the line. Killing the innocent is something that they approve of, but punishing the guilty is something they disapprove of. And they can't, apparently, they don't even think this through, because they say to us, they say, well, how can you be against abortion and for the death penalty? And we say, well, there's a difference between innocence and guilt. And right there, they're totally dumbfounded as though they had never thought about this in their entire lives. And here they go to public schools for 13 years of their lives where they're taught how to think, and they never thunk. And so you have euthanasia, where there are different stages of it, different phases. And the first is, well, we're only killing people when they ask us, they want to be terminated. They want to be killed. And quite often it's because they're in pain or they're afraid that their loved ones don't want to take care of them. And so the easy way out is to kill themselves. Quite often, suicide is a form of cowardice or selfishness, quite often. And so then we have the next stage is where they euthanize people without their knowledge. Let's say somebody is in a coma and they just cross that step real easily without any difficulty. First, they say, well, we're only euthanizing people who request it. And so then as soon as the government, the judges, the hospitals, the medical community, as soon as they're all comfortable with that, almost immediately, then they euthanize people who haven't requested it, but people who are ill and maybe cannot respond. And they get to the point where they euthanize people against their will, and they get to the point where they euthanize children, infants. We're talking about after birth. And, for example, Dylan Walborn, who in Colorado, Denver's Children's Hospital, their ethics panel advised Dylan's parents to go ahead and euthanize him. He's 4 years old, and to starve him to death. And the Denver Post documented the process. It took 24 days. It was a lengthy article, like maybe three, four full pages worth of the day-to-day, blow-by-blow description of how they killed Dylan Walborn. So Dylan didn't ask to be starved to death. He didn't ask for that. So it's just, it's a process. And I've been carrying around in my car, in the backseat of my car, a book that I read many, many years ago called The German Euthanasia Program. And actually, now this was in the years before they killed a single Jew, in the years before they began euthanizing Germans, and Germany, they euthanized many tens of thousands of German people for all kinds of excuses. And one that stands out in my mind, and they document it. You know, the Germans are real good at documenting things. There's paperwork on everything. To euthanize a patient, they had to get three doctors to fill out the paperwork to confirm that, yes, this person should be euthanized. A Colorado woman, I'll give her first name, Judy, she went way back when, 40 years ago, when Colorado first decriminalized child killing, she was being pushed into an abortion by her husband, and she needed three doctors to okay for her to kill her child. And so she gave the original medical reports to American Right to Life, and American Right to Life has scanned them and is putting them online so people could see for themselves. And the one doctor wrote this as a reason to justify the abortion. This one doctor, she wrote that, well, Judy likes skiing, and if she doesn't have this abortion, she won't be able to go skiing as often as she would like. That's one of the reasons. Now, that's not unlike Germany, where, for example, one boy was bedwetting, and they could not stop him from wetting the bed, and that was the justification that three doctors put down for why they should euthanize him. That was a young boy, about 9 years old. And the documentation is all available. So I've had this book in the backseat of my car to give to an acquaintance I've met. And his first name starts with a J. And I knew he was a liberal. He's a liberal, older guy, retired. And he told me that he started working in hospice. And right away, I start being concerned that he's going to be, he's a volunteer. And that's very nice, wonderful. But right away, I start thinking he's going to insert himself in these end-of-life issues and encourage people to starve to death their loved ones. And he'll be, you know, he'll be on these panels where they have three doctors and a non-doctor and a family member or something like that. And they'll decide what advice to give. And of course, he's going to say it's good to go ahead and stop feeding them, stop giving them water so that they die of thirst or they die of starvation. And that's killing someone. Now, it's not immoral to let a dying person die. That's not immoral. It is immoral to kill someone who's not dying. That is immoral. That's called murder. And God tells us, Jesus tells us, that you give a glass of water to somebody who's thirsty. You don't say, hey, you know what? You can't feed yourself. You're a four-year-old and you're handicapped. You can't feed yourself, so we're going to stop feeding you. Or we're not going to give you water so you die of thirst. There's a basic line, which is, you do not kill the innocent. Jesus said this. It's in the Bible. You know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, thou shalt not murder. Do not kill the innocent. One of the Bible verses that specifically repeat, do not murder, they state it in this way. They say, do not kill the innocent. If you'd like to find that Bible verse, of course you could search for it, but I'd go to AmericanRightToLife.org and just click on the Bible and abortion. And you'll be amazed at what you learn just on that one resource at AmericanRightToLife.org. In fact, there they have a 40-year education. Get a 40-year education in the pro-life fight in 40 days. Let American Right to Life keep track of your progress, and it takes you about an hour a day for 40 days. And you'll be amazed what you learn. So anyway, it's this slippery slope. And so today, they kill infants and babies if they determine that they're better off dead. That's what the Germans did to tens of thousands of German people before they killed a single Jew in a gas chamber. In fact, if you read the German Euthanasia Project, that's actually an excerpt of a book that has become a classic by Frederick Wortham on A Sign from Cain about human violence. It's a classic. And so two chapters, I think it was chapter 7 and 8, were on Germany's euthanasia program. And people think, well, it was all motivated by a blind hatred of the Jews. No, it wasn't. I mean, that's just an outgrowth of them setting aside God's enduring command, do not murder. So the things we could learn, and then there's another book I recommend called Cleansing the Fatherland, which was written by three research scholars, and they dug up so much information on how Germany, forget the Nazis, Germany, the medical community, the political apparatus, I mean, people who were mayors in Germany for decades before they had heard of Hitler. And they just started a machine where they euthanized tens of thousands of people, far more than 100,000 Germans. They had a goal of almost emptying their hospitals and their homes for delinquent children or homes for handicapped. Their goal was mostly to empty them because these people were useless eaters. It wasn't the Jews. They were just useless eaters. And this all really started becoming popular when two things happened. Charles Darwin was virtually canonized, that the strong should survive at the expense of the weak. Survival of the fittest which a lot of Darwinists say, well, Charles Darwin, he didn't say survival of the fittest. Well, he put it on the cover of his book, the cover of his book by, I think, maybe his third edition. He put it on the cover of his book, Survival of the Fittest. And so the Germans, they loved that. And then in the 1890s, there was a book published, and it might have been titled The Quality of Life. That was the topic. I think that was the title, Quality of Life. And the argument in the book was, if you don't have a good quality of life, it's not worth living. It's not worth living. And that book became extremely popular in Germany. And so the decision was made, a public policy, that the nation would begin helping people who really would be better off dead, and they helped them by killing them. So I told my friend and acquaintance, liberal Jay, first letter Jay, I told him that, you know, you're working at this hospice, and I'm concerned about your understanding of life and death. And so I'd like to loan you this book, two books, actually, Cleansing the Fatherland and the German Euthanasia Program. And he got extremely offended, you could imagine, extremely offended, extremely angry. And so then I went home and I put that book in my car so the next time I see him, I could give it to him. Now, he might throw it away, but it's important for him to know that this issue is more significant than maybe what your first or second or third thoughts on it might be. So Jack the Dripper is now in hell, along with apparently this Denver abortionist, initials EO, giving a lot of initials today. By the way, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278, the same phone number that we take phone calls on during the show occasionally, is the number you could use to call in to order any of our Bible study materials or our DVDs. We're just getting ready to remaster a set of 10 of our classic DVDs. They'll be out. They'll be digitally remastered. That's real exciting to me. Can't wait for that to happen. And so these two killers are in hell awaiting judgment day. God is the great equalizer. On this earth, Planned Parenthood, they have a lot of money. And they got maybe most of it from the Republicans like George W. Bush, who gave them, what, over $1 billion, hundreds of millions of dollars more than even Bill Clinton was able to give them in his term as president. George W. Bush gave hundreds of millions more than Clinton managed to get to Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood, they have a lot of money, and they get it every year, hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal government, regardless of whether there's a pro-life Republican president in the White House and a pro-life legislature or Democrat, doesn't matter. Because the Republicans learned many years ago, decades ago, that they could use abortion as a way to get votes and get money and get a lot of votes and a lot of money. And so really, why would they want it to go away? I mean, why would they want that? Wouldn't they do anything to defeat Barack Obama? Anything? Wouldn't they do anything to defeat Hillary Clinton? Anything? And so if abortion is a major way for them to get a significant part of their base, their votes and money, what's their motivation for it to end? I don't see that. I just don't see it. And so when you look at what they've actually done, they've done nothing to end abortion. They don't fight to end abortion. They play with it around the edges and they turn it into perpetual fundraisers. So Planned Parenthood has a lot of money. But God is the great equalizer, because before him, our money power, lies, none of it will obscure the truth. None of it. It doesn't matter. Either we've humbly asked him to forgive us, and we're grateful that he sent his son to die for us on the cross and to be raised from the dead so that we could live forever with him, or we've spurned God and his love for us. We just don't care, or we outright reject him and deny him, in which case God does not force himself on anyone. He's not going to try to force you to love him. He won't try to force you to live with him forever. That would be sick. It'd be sick. It's like a woman who doesn't love a man and he forces her to marry him. I mean, it doesn't even have meaning. It's bizarre. It wouldn't even be a marriage. If a man forced a woman to marry him, she's not married. I mean, if he really forced her physically to stand up and go and exchange rings, and if she's forced, it's not even a marriage. And the Bible repeatedly uses marriage as the best metaphor for God's relationship with us, the relationship that he wants to have, because love is volitional. Love has to be freely given. And so when a man and a woman say I do to one another, they say I do. I mean, eternity changes at that moment. Eternity. Even if they end up getting a divorce 4 years later, still their lives have changed forever. And the same thing is true with God and us. God is standing at the altar, and he's saying, do you believe that I love you and sent my son for you? And when we say I do, eternity changes. Everything changes. And if you say no, well, then that also has eternal consequences. So Jack Kevorkian and Denver child killer E.O., not yet confirmed as dead, but long confirmed as dead in his spirit, if either of them had not repented before their last moment, their last breath, then they are in hell awaiting judgment day. And that day will come as sure as the sun rose this morning. That day will come. And people think, well, I don't believe in whatever, fill in the blank. It doesn't matter whether you believe in something or not. If that something is real, denying it is not going to help. So we have a few more minutes. I'd like to change the topic. So that's our update on two killers who apparently are in hell right now and awaiting judgment day. Next topic, you know that home prices have been falling all over the country, and they've been falling precipitously. And it's been difficult for a lot of families. Now, in my own selfish perspective, what I've said for 20 years is, Cheryl and I talk about this, and I say, I don't care if our house doesn't appreciate, because we have seven boys and they all need to buy homes. So I don't care if homes are at their height. I think there's a housing bubble, and it was just all out of whack anyway. So it doesn't bother me too much when it's sort of like you're big, you're fat, you're bloated, and you're sick, and you go on a diet. Not because you want to, you have no choice, and you lose 40 pounds, and then you feel a little better. So a lot of that, an adjustment is going on in the economy in some ways. There's a lot of terrible things going on in the economy, but it doesn't really hit me as, you know, some inherent wickedness when a housing bubble pops. The bubble was stupid and it causes a lot of pain, but it's not inherently wicked. But you know what? Where home prices have fallen all over the U.S., That's not true in Washington, D.C. Did you know that? In Washington, D.C., home prices are up more than 10% in the last 2 years. Up. Now, why do you think that is? Do you think it's because Washington, D.C. has a great climate? It's just where everybody wants to live. The climate is great. No, I think it's likely a result, an indicator, that there is a glut of tax money that has been spent, especially by government bureaucrats and the people they know and owe favors to, from the bailouts and the stimulus, and it ended up going to these bureaucrats and lobbyists with the government wealth transfer in full operation, taking money from families across America and giving it to billion-dollar corporations and millionaire investors and lobbyists and spending it as political payback. And ho-hum, that's just business as usual. Welcome to iRoll Radio. I mean, no kidding. Newsflash. Bush and Obama were socialists who, even worse, slaughtered innocent unborn children. So, oh, and by the way, something that's not from iRoll Radio. iRoll Radio, right? That's, for example, Sean Hannity. He's a specialist in iRoll Radio. Did you know that Barack Obama is bad? We're going to reveal today how Barack Obama is bad, and we got to get rid of him. That's our number one goal. Get rid of him. What if the guy you put in his place is worse? Doesn't matter. We just got to get rid of him. So what I'm about to say is not from iRoll Radio. A country that rejects God doesn't deserve good health care. It doesn't deserve economic prosperity. You think God's blessing should flow on Germany when they begin to slaughter tens of thousands of Germans, euthanizing them, men, women, and children? What, they should have good health care? God's blessings, you think they should flow on our nation and on our families, especially if we do nothing to stop the slaughter of children in our cities? God didn't bless the slave traders. He didn't bless the Chinese. He didn't bless the Germans or the Italians. And he's not blessing the Americans who are apathetic about Planned Parenthood ripping the arms off of children. That's just reality. People say, I don't like hearing about abortion. I'm tired of it. Well, on Judgment Day, you're going to hear about it. So better to hear about it now than then. God bless you guys.